there is now.
And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast.
15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I'll be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London, so let's get down to business. Today is Tuesday, the 21st of November, 2017. Bitcoin's currently trading at $8,295, woohoo, which is up 1% in the last 24 hours. Ethereum's currently at $370, which is up 2%. Ripple is currently at 24 cents, which is down 1%. Litecoin's currently at $72, which hasn't changed in the last 24 hours. What a fantastic performance overall on the crypto space. We're seeing all-time highs in Bitcoin. We're closing in on Ethereum to all-time highs. I believe the all-time high is $415. So we're coming close. The market's picking up. Everything's looking great and positive. So with that in mind, let's get on to the next part of the show.
Crypto news flash.
Crypto news stories from around the world.
The first story today is going to be discussing adoption. So a couple of weeks back, we had the story of Square implementing Bitcoin into their payment services. So today, what we're going to be doing is discussing this and seeing where the company is so far, what their progress is, and seeing what the institutional banks out there think of this as well. So let's get into the story. Square's decision to incorporate Bitcoin payments into its app could be a real cash cow for the company, according to Wall Street firm Credit Suisse. An analysis from the firm believes that a $30 million revenue bump is completely possible for the next 2 years. Square recently announced a rollout to a limited number of customers using pooled wallets to allow Bitcoin payments without the current high fees. This news sent Bitcoin's price tearing towards the $7,000 mark about a week ago. This high-level adoption from a major payment app is both a positive for Square, who are taking the plunge, but Credit Suisse see it as an even bigger win for the crypto asset industry. Confers legitimacy. There have always been some recent barriers that Bitcoin has broken, leading to new all-time highs almost daily. In terms of adoption, the other big news was that CME announced it would be offering Bitcoin futures soon. Now, with a payment app like Square joining the party, aiming at streamlining Bitcoin's possibility to be a functioning currency, there is further legitimacy being placed in Bitcoin, especially among traditional companies and investors. While we are positive on Square's strategy, to the extent it confers legitimacy on Bitcoin and prompts adoption by other providers, the biggest beneficiary may be the crypto asset industry, Credit Suisse analyst Paul Condra said. Big boom coming. Doing a little predicting of their own, Credit Suisse added that they believe that if Square can accumulate a good amount of users, they will be turning over a lot more revenue. We estimate that if Square can accumulate 10 million Bitcoin buyers over 2 years, this could drive an incremental $30 million in revenue, Condra added. Condra said that Bitcoin and the company may charge a fee of 1.5% per transaction, and the average customer could spend about $200 a year in Bitcoin purchases, according to his estimates. Seeing if it's real, Square's CFO, Sarah Friar, said in their own way, they are listening to the growing noise that is coming from the regular customer. She explains that their foray into Bitcoin is still an experiment, but it's driven by demand. The only way to get people invested in figuring what is the what of something new is creating a product and getting it out there, Friar explained. We spent a lot of time listening, and what we heard from our customers as individuals using Square Cash to make payments, saying they want to make it easy to buy and sell Bitcoin. So we're doing an experiment to say, okay, is it real? Things look positive already for something that is meant to be just an experiment. But the attitude of Square could see them extend the experiment if things continue on that path. Then there could be a further adoption as many companies are adopting a wait and a see approach. If it becomes a success, as Credit Suisse is predicting, it could spark off a much bigger adoption wave for payment networks to utilize Bitcoin. Woohoo! A great story. And I believe this really sums up what's going on at the minute in the crypto world and how the mainstream retail world are going to be picking this up and how it could be implemented into their systems and how it could all be embedded under the one roof, which is Bitcoin. With that in mind, let's get on to the next story. The second story today is going to be talking about a hack that's taken place in Sacramento, and to do with the transport services over there. And I think it's quite funny in a way, but it's also quite serious. So let's get into the story and let me know your thoughts. A hacker has attacked and crippled the Sacramento Regional Transit SACRT system for a ransom of one Bitcoin, or about $8,000 at today's market value. The attack erased important programs that are necessary for planning and dispatching bus routes, as well as dispatching employees for service. In an odd move, the hacker demanded a single Bitcoin in order to stop making the attacks and to allow the computer team at SACRT to get the system back online. According to a message sent by the hackers, "Hello, I will always attack your website. We are hackers. We can do everything. Pay us to stop the attack." The hack raised awareness and SACRT removed all its credit card payment options until full security can be achieved. It may take several days to get the system back online to complete full functionality. So the hack and ransom are odd in that it demands are so small. Other hacks this year include sizable amounts. HBO, YPro and Equifax all face ransoms anywhere from $250,000 to over $75 million. It appears that SACRT hackers can be bought off for a relatively small amount, though, nevertheless causing much disruption, which is very odd because if you are going to go through all the effort and putting yourself out there and hacking a bus route in Sacramento, why would you? I mean, it's just an odd story. I thought I'd let you guys hear about it because I think it's got a kind of a dark undertone to it, and it's quite funny as well. So let me know your thoughts. Let's get on to the next story. The next story is one of the most positive stories I have read in the last 8 hours. So without giving too much away, let's just jump into it. So Ronnie Moas sets new sights 2018, $14,000 on the cards as a price prediction for Bitcoin. Less than 2 weeks ago, Standpoint's researcher Ronnie Moas, who is famed for his stock picking, put another target prediction for Bitcoin to reach for 2018, eyeing $11,000. Having seen many of his targets smashed earlier than expected, the Bitcoin bull has moved the goalpost again. Moas now predicts that Bitcoin will be at $14,000 by the time 2018 rolls around. However, his calculation is slightly different to most, as he explains in an exclusive interview with Cointelegraph. Moas adds that Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, and Bitcoin Gold prices together in his calculations, surpassing expectations. Moas has been trying to keep abreast of his predictions as of late, starting back in July 2017, prior to the August 1st fork, where he boldly stated it would reach $5,000 in a few months. The price was hovering below $3,000 at the time. In August 2017, the rapid price increase in Bitcoin led Moas revising his projection to $7,500 by the start of 2018, but he has since raised that to $11,000 earlier this month, when it was just under $8,000. And now, a few factors have caused him to again revise the target for 2018 to $14,000. Headlines such as the announcement of CME and the fact that Square Cash App is allowing selected users to buy and transact in Bitcoin. Additionally, on the altcoin side, American Express and Santander announced the partnership with Ripple, XRP, is now fourth with a $9.2 billion valuation. Moas said in an exclusive interview with Cointelegraph, "There have been a number of key developments for cryptocurrencies recently that have made me revise the target. There have also been some positive headlines for cryptocurrencies, and they have been knocking over obstacles." Moas also makes a point of stating that if when he talks about the Bitcoin price, he is talking about the combined price of Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, and Bitcoin Gold. Moas added, "When I calculate the Bitcoin target price, I am adding Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin Cash, and Bitcoin." In other words, if Bitcoin market capitalization drops by $50 billion tomorrow, it would not be a concern of mine if Bitcoin Cash jumped up the same amount. 10 times increase. Moas, looking at the entire cryptocurrency market, predicts it can easily rise from around $250 billion at the moment to over $2.5 trillion, an increase of over 900%. Wow, what a story. Let me know your thoughts. Let's get on to the next part of the show.
Top Twitter tweet of the day.
The first tweet we're going to go over today is from Brian D. Evans. You can go follow him at Brian D. Evans. And here's the tweet. Fun fact, if Bitcoin grows to the market cap of Apple, it will be worth $52,000 plus per Bitcoin. I love that tweet. I think that's a great tweet. It's optimistic, it's bullish, and that's what we like at SEK Crypto. Let's get on to the second tweet here. So the second tweet is from Joseph Young, and you can go follow him at I am Joseph Young. And here's the tweet. Overstock CEO says, the real question is not how high can Bitcoin go. The real question is how low can fiat currency go. Businesses and investors are moving from the broken fiat system to the real money in Bitcoin and gold. Great tweet. Go follow them both. They post a lot. They've got great content. We highly recommend them. Let's get on to the next part of the show because we've got a surprise in store for you.
SVK's current global crypto view.
So today we've had a fantastic day in the SVK crypto office, and I'll tell you why. We have been extremely involved in the QuantStamp ICO, and today was the first day of it trading. It went up 200% at one stage. I believe now it's around 150% up from the ICO price. So it's a fantastic performance thus far, and it hasn't hit a major exchange as of yet. I believe it's on Huobi and BFinance. So listen, here's the deal. I wanted to go back over the QuantStamp ICO perspectives that I read to you guys 2 weeks ago. And I wanted to see if we could pick out any main things and maybe create a formula for looking at other ICOs. So the QuantStamp ICO, just to fill you in on the success thus far, raised the $30 million they were looking for in under the amount of time that they had. So what the way they did this, it was extremely clever. So if you were investing a large amount of Ether, you weren't given the best allocation. So they had different tiers, tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3. Tier 1, I believe, was 100% discount. Tier 2 was 75%. And tier 3, I believe, was 50%. So what they did was, if you were investing a higher amount, you were put into the lower tiers because they didn't want the people with lots of tokens to basically take up and sell on the open. So they were very clever in the way they maneuvered this. And I think a lot of other ICOs are going to be rolling this out very soon because they've seen the success of QuantStamp. They closed early because they raised the amount of money they're looking for, which left excess demand when listed on a I call them medium exchanges or the middleman exchanges like Huobi, before they got listed on a much larger exchange. So they sold out, and then the amount of people trying to sell the coins, they got picked up straight away. So we just saw a huge influx in price. But what's also interesting is how this got this far. So one of the main reasons is just natural marketing. It was just word throughout the community. And one of the ways to judge this is via the Telegram group. I believe at present they've got 16,000 people signed up to the Telegram group, and they're constantly messaging on there. So having a strong community, which they've built up from doing events, they've built up from being very active. The CEO, Richard Ma, he has been very active in QuantStamp. He's been doing lots of Q&As on YouTube. He's very involved in the whole ICO process, and he's been really good at giving back information and giving the community updates. And I think that's another key thing to look for in an ICO. Do they keep the community updated? Or is it an ICO that, you know, you've read the white paper, you've seen the prospectus, and it's just nothing else there? They just don't, they're not feeding you, they're not constantly giving you information, updates. Even the small updates go a long way in an ICO because people want to feel connected to the ICO. I think that's a really key point. But another thing was the way it was the shares and the tokens were giving out. So on the ICO, one token would cost you, without any discount, this is bearing in mind, 6 cents. And I think a lower price range for some of these ICOs are just more attractive to investors, what I'm seeing at the minute. You know, a couple of months back, you had, a couple of dollars per token, and that was okay. But I think now some of the ICOs we're seeing coming through have much lower price per token. And they also have a lower hard cap. This is something that obviously QuantStamp didn't follow, but I think that's something to really focus on when looking at an ICO. What is the hard cap? Because a lot of these companies we're seeing at the minute, I'm not going to mention any names, but they have a huge hard cap, and then they don't reach it, then they take it down by half, and then they take it down by another half, and, you know, trying to trick people into thinking they've actually hit their hard cap originally, which I'm not saying all companies do naturally, but, you know, I've seen a few do that. So what to look out for? Well, the first thing of QuantStamp, I have to say, is they have a real use case. They're the auditor, or they're trying to be the auditor for the Ethereum smart contracts. And they're trying to have their stamp of approval, per smart contract or ICO that's coming out of a smart contract. This is important because as a real use case in the crypto realm, it's not a use case outside of it and it's a company that's looking to raise funds. You know, this is a company working within the blockchain space and looking to benefit the blockchain space. And I think that's another key thing to focus on when looking at an ICO. Because is their proposition a decentralized one and how are they benefiting the crypto community? Now, that's a two-part question. If A, they don't have a decentralized proposition, you've got to kind of look into that a bit further. And if B, it doesn't help the crypto community in any way, then you've got to ask yourself, why are they having an ICO? Is it just literally to raise funds and to put into their other business? Like what is the situation here? And I'd really recommend doing a lot of due diligence on ICOs that you guys are looking at and just asking yourself these simple questions. At SVK Crypto, we have a whole list of questions. So if anyone would like our list to look at these ICOs, please drop me an email. My email is cstory@svkcrypto.com. With that in mind, I've got to bounce. Please share, like, subscribe to our podcast. Get the good word out there of what SVK Crypto, 15 Minutes Crypto Fame is doing. With that in mind, that's a wrap. Have a fantastic evening, and I'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.